David Grush says we could see serious movement in the next 60 to 90 days. But here's the key point. I don't think he's only talking about those UFO files. The files might be coming in days or maybe weeks, but what Grush seemed to hint at felt bigger than paperwork. So what's he pointing towards? And could this be where the UEP conversation moves from rumour and hearings into something much more official? Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and joining me for what's turned into a bit of a breaking news podcast with a major new David Grush interview dropping, President Obama walking back comments, Kash Patel saying we have files ready to be delivered, pastors being told to prepare for the coming disclosure of aliens and our alien overlords taking over, and a whole lot more. That's not even the weirdest stuff. I've got Dan Cleary joining me once again, host of Others from Another Mother. Dan, welcome back, mate.
Thanks, Andy. Good to be back. I had such a good time last time. I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah, you didn't get a whole lot of hate. So that was good. That was positive.
Just a little bit. Just a little hate.
Oh, everyone needs a little bit of hate.
Good. And it's humbling.
I gave that open there and saying that's not even the weirdest stuff. And it's really not. It's been a kind of strange week in the world of UFOs again. And even we plan to record this. Famously, I plan not too far in advance, like yesterday. And overnight, we've got a new David Grush interview. And I think that's a really good place to start, because there's a lot here that for me, I think is going to be kind of interconnected. And I don't know how you feel about a lot of the kind of news items that are kind of floating around at the minute.
There's a lot of new stuff. I mean, since we talked last time, I think we brought up the demon talk on our last chat, and that kind of exploded recently. And then there's a lot in this Grush interview that I kind of watched this morning, but let's get into Grush.
Indeed. So David Grush dropped an interview on a lesser known channel. It's on Judicial Watch. Now, this is not a UFO channel, folks. It's a conservative leaning US legal watchdog platform. Quite niche, aimed at an audience that's already interested in government secrecy, FOIA battles, corruption, institutional accountability. And that makes David Grush appearing on here significant, because it reframes the UEP story away from maybe a lot of the more sensational side of things that people like us would probably dive into, or a Rogan or a Sean Ryan or an American Alchemy, you know, any of those bigger platforms. So away from that kind of niche media and into government oversight, transparency, and public records. And I think Grush has clearly gone on here because it's not a huge platform. It's not something that gets hundreds or millions, hundreds of thousands or millions of views like some platforms David Grush could pick and choose to go on to. But I think he will have appreciated the way the questions were asked, the angles, the host. His name is Chris Farrell, and he's the Director of Investigations and Research. Former US Army military intelligence officer similar to Grush, a background in counter-espionage and human intelligence. So he's not just speaking to a UFO audience here. He's speaking to probably a pretty unique group of folks that would watch this type of content. Government watchdog audience primed around secrecy, records, intelligence, and institutional accountability. So really interesting to see this pop up. As it stands, the actual interview on YouTube, when I watched it, only had around 12 or 15,000 views, which is really low for Grush. But I think because people are watching the clips on socials, they're not seeking out a well-known channel to find it. But fair play, I can see why Grush has used this angle of attack, given some of the things discussed. So I've made kind of comprehensive notes on it. Let's kind of talk through these, Dan. And as we go, we'll kind of pick some points to talk about. Cool. So Chris Farrell, the host, says from his point of view at the beginning, the UFO topic is always in and out the news cycle, but the last 6 to 8 months, he feels something seems ready to break. That's pretty cool coming from someone who's, it's not me sensationalizing this, it's not you, it's not Pavel, you know, it's not Jesse Michaels, this is someone who's not a UFO guy, who's sitting there going, that looks like there might be something actually worth discussing here. And I really appreciated that. What's your thoughts on him being on this sort of platform?
Yeah, I think people like us usually talk about this stuff with a little bit of wishful thinking. So I think we get excited about the idea of something happening and we maybe sound more confident than we really should be. But Grush picking this one, it does feel strategic because it seems like he's also talking to kind of a, it's not just a podcast host. It's kind of more of a peer where they have that shorthand of what means what. It was definitely a different interview than he's had with Jesse Michaels. Like you said, it's a much different conversation, but it was cool to watch. There's a lot of nuggets in there.
They were speaking each other's language literally at times, because they would speak about things they weren't actually saying, but they would speak about it, you know. Oh, so yeah, when they might say this, oh yeah, right, because I know what you're getting at. And so they know the intelligence landscape, how that works.
Yes.
So I think there was a level of trust from Grush, and you could see sometimes he'd be asked a question that I would never even think to ask him because I don't know that background. And you could see him smiling and nodding like, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep. So that was really interesting. But what I did appreciate as well, the host, I'm going to stop calling him the host, Chris Farrell, was really good quite often at stopping David Grush and saying, can you just explain that either a little bit more simply, or can you give it a framing or a context again? Because we can all nod along sometimes to these interviews and people use really big words and really complicated sentences and language. And you're like, And in your head, you're going, I don't get what that word quite means, but I think I know. Or you're frantically Googling what depose means, just double checking in terms of witnesses.
Do you ever watch UAP Gerb's videos?
Yeah.
Okay, so already they're 3 hours, 3.5 hours long, but with the pausing and Googling, it usually takes me about 19 to 23 hours to get through a Gerb video. But if you can stick through it, there's a lot of rich stuff in there, and this interview is kind of the same.
It's like a heavy Netflix series. You know, people listen to podcasts on 2x speed, like you put Gerbs on like 0.25 just to get the acronyms written down in a list to go, I'm going to go away and research these first, and it's just the opening. Really, really good interview. I would stress folks to go watch like an hour and 15 minutes, but here's some of the highlights for you. So what have we got? Grush said from a young age he had trust at the highest levels in his role. So from his early 20s, it made me feel so old when Grush was like, I'm 40 next year. And I was like, shit, I've just turned 40. And that guy looks so much better than I do. But he was saying from a young age in his roles, he had trust at the very highest levels, setting out how credentialed he is to be doing what he's doing. And that's why it's so important. The host clears up that Grush's background and experience is crucial, not because necessarily of what he got exposed to across specific programs individually, but that he knows how to navigate between all of those programs and how things would link up and how the landscape across different programs to the average person or the average officer might not make sense, but he could put two and two together to make five, and that's what he had to do. And Grush, that was the one where he was like, yep. And he even jokes later in the episode about the government using his autism to their advantage because of how he thinks and how he deals with stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he joked like, well, it actually backfired on them because it's turned into what it's turned into. Yeah, basically. Right. That was really, really cool.
Which is something, by the way, we've noticed from the beginning. Since Grush started speaking publicly, just how much his retention of information, it's completely mind-blowing. It's almost like savantism or something. Autism, of course, is very present, but it is kind of his secret weapon.
To speak so clearly and so well, and I suppose like you mentioned UAP Gerb, similar type thing,
similar.
Where can just I can't do that. I'm not that guy. Same. Really, really interesting, and it's good that Grush uses that to his benefit. And it makes me think in the past. Oh, so sorry. There was a Grush talked about the security mafia, how it would treat people and egos expecting to be briefed on things at really high levels, and their egos would get bruised because they would be told, you don't need to know. Really high ranking officials, generals, thinking, I want in on this. And folks coming along going, nah, you don't get to read this folder. And that would really, really upset some people. And it makes me think in the past, because he obviously talked about his work with the Congress, the UAP caucus, and the work he's done in the background. And he mentioned folks in the past politically trying to pursue this have found it very difficult. It's almost like Grush in a way is a little bit of a key. And it made me think of, remember the Matrix movie where you had the guy who would have the key to all the back door ways around the Matrix in the back? Mm-hmm. Is Grush just the key that was all that type of person? was always missing from folks over the years and decades who wanted to do something, tried to do something, even going back to the Clintons, you know, when they tried to investigate this and ask questions right. about it in various administrations. But Grush is the key to literally help you find your way through the maze, to help you get into the backdoor access to go, no, we need this and you want to look over here. What you do is you go over to here. That's going to allow you to go not from A to B, but you're going to go via D, L, and Q before we get to B. And maybe he's just unlocking this for these people. Maybe I'm giving Grush too much credit. I don't know. But what do you think of that idea?
No, I think you have it pretty spot on. And it makes me think, I would like to see Grush. Do you guys have escape rooms over there where people go to escape rooms?
Yeah.
I bet he would get out of any room in about 2 or 3 minutes. You know what I mean?
Oh, that, yeah.
But I think you're right. I think he is just this unicorn that we've kind of all been waiting for a long time. And not like he's like the UFO messiah, but really, I don't think we would be anywhere near where we are now if it wasn't for him and his skills and his attention to detail and retention. But I think you're right. Just knowing how everything interconnects, having it pretty mapped out and knowing that there is like a puzzle to all of it that he seems to have figured out over the course of a few years.
Do you watch Lord of the Rings?
I've watched the first few movies. I'm not very well versed.
I think you're like me, but there's like this popular internet theory where, and people who watch Lord of the Rings, many of which I'm sure listen to and watch this, will scream at me for getting this wrong. But why didn't Frodo and his mates just jump on the back of this bird or dragon at the beginning and fly the ring to Mordor and drop it in the big volcano thing, and that would have been it? Why go through all that hassle? And maybe Grush is that magical being that they can jump on the back of, and you don't need 3 movies anymore and right. all these books. You just literally, he's the cheat code to the end. I hope so, because again, it's going to tie into potentially a lot of things we're going to discuss here.
Cool.
Grush said that Blue Book, Project Blue Book, Project Sign, Project Grudge were programs used to cover up what the government was actually doing regards UFOs. I don't think that's totally unsurprising for people to hear. Chris plainly asks him, the federal government themselves or in the form of some other body has recovered alien vehicles, and there are biologics or entities associated with that. And the work that Grush has done has identified that, and within the government, that they're trying to hide it. He's trying to, as plainly as he can, basically say, so have the US government got alien craft and alien bodies? And Grush says, yes. But as he does, he's very, very, yep, that is exactly what I am saying. He does go in to say he's not quite sure if it's extraterrestrial. He didn't have the full access to those technical findings, so he would leave that open as it could be something else, but he has talked to the highest of high-level sources on this. Again, I think that's always an interesting caveat Grush makes, where he's not saying it's not ET, but again, I don't know whether that's down to... Is that because, one, he says, like, I've not seen myself exactly where they come from? Again, there's all a lot of talk that officials like Kirkpatrick, Goff, and others have used that language to obfuscate and say,
yes,
yeah, we've got no evidence of extraterrestrials. Well, mm-hmm. unless you can literally find out where they're coming from, you know, I've got no evidence that Dan Cleary's a Canadian, an American, a Mexican, because I've never seen right. you go back to your country of origin, you know, on your birth certificate. Right. So right. we can't do that with these beings, but, you know, we're almost certain they're coming from outer space. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how they're getting around that. Is that how you see that, or would you address that any other way?
I think you're right. I mean, it even goes to Dylan Borland in Congress describing in order to have something be extraterrestrial, you have to like go to the home planet, prove that the tech came from there, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It does seem like just semantics, but Grush is kind of laying it out right there that is exactly what we're talking about. And I appreciate that he won't say ET, because if he doesn't know, he does seem like the kind of guy that if he doesn't know for sure, he's not going to say it. And he's very, yeah. very deliberate with his words. And the truth is, I think we really don't know exactly where they're coming from. So it makes sense to me to keep it kind of broad. But you mentioned Arrow again. We've seen time and time again where journalists have asked for clarification and calling them out on the ET thing and saying, okay, well, can you say that we are dealing with non-human tech, non-human intelligence, and they refuse to even accept that as a term? So it is a very deliberate, like a lazy loophole.
Yeah. And I don't doubt they're just lying sometimes, because I don't think, even if you got the terminology correct, I don't think they would say, I'm not answering that, Dan. I think they would just say, no, that's not correct. There's no proof of that. But
they're gonna say, you got me. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And some folks try to use that online as gotchas, either way. Grush is very quick to confirm that this is not one event, but multiple. It's quite funny. Chris Farrell says, so am I right in saying that, you know, we've got more than one of these, but less than 100?
Less than 100.
He kind of throws out a high number, which I was intrigued to see if Grush would even say, like, you know, it's about there. But he says, no, that's fair. That's less than 100, but yeah, definitely more than one. Mm-hmm. He talks about Immaculate Constellation, and I want to make sure I'm right with this, but it sounded to me like, because I saw a lot of folks online say he's confirmed Immaculate Constellation was real and existed. I'm not saying he's ever doubted that, but he does say there were, just because there was no DOD programs by that name doesn't mean it wasn't. And I think he says like a White House program or something. So again, he was just clarifying that these things can exist, but just because this, you know, just because the left hand says, no, we have nothing in our hand, doesn't mean the right hand doesn't have something. So he was kind of clearing that up. But I saw a lot of folks jump on that online as David Grush confirms Matthew Brown, Immaculate Constellation, which I believe is legitimate. And that's certainly way that came across to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I've even heard of some parts of government that we don't ever talk about in this topic that have their own UFO programs, which is bizarre. I think there's more parts of government that have interest in this and have intel on this than we realize. So I wouldn't be surprised if these things are all over the place, tucked away in dark little corners.
Well, not asking you to burn sources here, okay? But, you know, you've got like your Department of Energy is always one. You've got the Air Force. Let's say the Navy's got something. Where else potentially would have in your mind?
I don't want to say, but there's one that really shocked me, but I just don't want to mention it. But a surprising one
The Department of Garden Supplies.
You've heard about it. You've heard about it. Yeah, you've heard about it. I think it'll come out at some point. I hope, but a couple of surprising places where there are kind of UAP programs.
And so Grush says the public need a formal disclosure plan, not a dump like the JFK files. And he's very quick to say, you know, no harm to the caucus and what's being done there and attempted. And he says, regardless what the president says about his belief in the subject. And let's not forget, folks, I know folks, there's a lot of folks will say, why would you believe anything Trump says? He's lied about blah, 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 blah. But then you've got other folks who are like, Trump's the guy, Trump's going to do it. Trump has always been quite open to say, I don't particularly believe in a lot of this. But the pilots, the military folks, you know, they're pretty credible. They've seen something. So he's always weighed in on, I'm not a big fan, but, you know, maybe there's something to it. Grush says the president is knowledgeable on this subject. So he's quite remiss to not say the president's lying about his interest in it or knowledge, but perhaps there's reasons for that. And I would imagine someone like Trump would see something pretty incredible like this and go, you know what? I'm not fussed.
That's kind of what I feel like it is. I think it's my understanding that he is briefed pretty well, but doesn't have like the full briefing. But even still, I think he's been given a lot of information, but he's still just kind of like some people just aren't interested. Like I have a cousin, cousin is a police officer in Massachusetts, and he's a incredibly smart, super interesting, fun guy, is interested in science and he's brilliant. And we've talked about this stuff and he's just like, I don't care. Like you don't even find it even remotely interesting. Yeah. You know, not really. It's just, if it's science, like why wouldn't they be here? Like, okay, I got other stuff I'm interested in. I think Trump might be one of those kind of guys. Or he might kind of believe it, but he seems like someone who, he cares very much about how he's perceived, obviously. And maybe there is a worry that he would, God forbid, come across looking crazy if he were to talk about UFOs. So it might be something that he's kind of just guarded about it, but it just, he's made so many points about the fact that he doesn't, he's not really interested. Other people are. I've talked to these pilots, and I know you guys, referring to the public, you guys are into this kind of weird stuff, but not me. He does make a lot of points about it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of self-preservation for me.
Yep.
Like you say, the crazy looking thing, people could use it against him politically. Yep. There's not that he's not got a lot of ammunition there anyway. There's a little bit of ignorance is bliss. I can imagine him being the kind of guy saying, you know, being shown a picture of a body or a craft and going, okay, that's fine. Like,
sure,
that's enough. Yeah.
Sure. He's also in his 70s, you know, and people of that age grew up in a time where UFOs were nothing but sci-fi and a joke. And if you were into it, like if you're, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and you're a kid into UFOs, like you're probably seen as weird, or you're not super smart. So that might be something just ingrained in people of that age.
Yeah. And again, what we're going to talk about still now and more going forward, again, Trump's involved in much of it. Grush says he thinks regarding the timeline on this, part of it could be to do with midterms, that he believes the administration see the MAGA crowd and Republican voters. There's a lot of interest there, potentially. We know at the Turning Point USA rally a few weeks ago, I wasn't there myself, folks, before you turn off or turn on.
But Trump, you were trying to get there, you just couldn't get in.
I flew over, I was standing outside. But Trump made the point, didn't he, to that audience? And I'm guessing it skewered younger, the way he spoke, but he was like, I know a lot of you folks are really into this UFO stuff. And so he sees as an audience and an appetite for it. A lot of folks listening to this politically either like or hate Trump or are indifferent, but potentially could be swayed because of this topic. So he says there's another part of it where folks in the White House are running around trying to get these files. I think he's talking about the caucus. And he mentions people in the White House like Vice President J.D. Vance talking about demons, but he calls that theologically premature. And he thinks that we shouldn't just jump to labeling these as demons because of our own bias, our own religious backgrounds. And we're going to talk about the pastors coming forward pretty soon, which will tie into that. That may also tie in, but that's all pretty interesting stuff. He also mentioned there are two people in the White House, really high level, he can't name, who are working on this for the president. He does get asked by Chris Farrell who they are, and he's like, I can't tell you who they are.
I would love to know.
Thoughts on that before I ask you about the Arrow stuff?
No real thoughts on that. Nothing to add. Sorry.
So... No, that's absolutely fine. Arrow, Grush says he offered Arrow 1 year ago because he met with them twice to question hostile witnesses under oath, but they never got back to him on that offer, which is interesting. You know, he said, I'll come in, I'll speak to them, I'll do the questioning, I know the background, I know what I'm talking about, we can get the answers from them. And Arrow were like, nah. So for me, what Grush is getting at there is, I'll come in and ask them the right questions, whereas Arrow are going to ask the questions to which they know they'll get the answers they want to get. And it could probably leave a lot of things off the table. Dan, you could be desperate to give me and divulge all this really interesting, incredible UFO stuff you know, or you've been privy to. And I'm going, I don't want to know about that. So, you know, this kind of month you had off sick here between, you know, working on the saucers and working on the bodies. What happened there? What were you doing that month you were off sick? And you're like, well, I just had a chest infection. Yeah, okay, yeah. So not reliable really, is he? And it's like, do you not want to know about the bodies I was working on? The alien?
Yeah.
No, not just now. No. And I think he's getting at Arrow being lazy or flagrant with our questioning, which I don't think anyone would be surprised about.
I think we've heard multiple people talk about going to Arrow for interviews about what they know. And there's not a whole lot of questions. Like, they'll sit down and whoever's doing the intake will just be like, oh, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to tell us? Mm. And they'll just kind of say their thing, and often there won't be much follow-up, and they'll just be like, all right, thank you. No note-taking, no recording into a device, just like, it's just meeting for coffee where only one person talks and then, you know, someone leaves. So I think it's very, very, very abundantly clear that Arrow is not what we hoped it would be, not what we were told it was going to be, but it sounds just more the same that, that Grush is kind of confirming. I mean, offering to do the hard work for them, and they're just like, "Yeah, we're good."
The interview is really good, but I think the best stuff comes in perhaps the kind of last 15 minutes here, some big kind of key takeaways. Grush talks about this idea of folks going to a site, and this is something Eric Burleson has been doing, visiting sites alleged to house craft and whatnot. And he makes the point that it doesn't work. What you need is a multi-site search and seize, which makes sense because I think a lot of folks have had this issue of, you know, Dan, I'm going to come to your house and look for books. Now, I know right now you've got books behind you on your shelf. And I say, yep, so I'm going to be there on the 18th of May at 12 o'clock and I'm going to come looking for books and I want you to show me all the books you have. You better not have any books though, because you know what happens. So between now and 18th of May, you are hiding or getting rid of those books.
Yes.
Or to Grush's point, I turn up and you know there's one particular room in your home which has the books. You just don't show me that room. And that's what he said. It's so easy to do. You don't even have to move this stuff. You just say, I'm not going to show that guy that corridor that day. Yep, can we move this stuff into here? And yes. What you need is more of a... I mean, in my head, I've got proper SWAT team material, you know, turning up unannounced, 6 a.m., dawn raid, bang on the doors, breaking in. But that just seems so far away from actually happening, doesn't it?
That does seem far away. And I've been talking about that for a while, of that possibility. And I think that... super sci-fi idea is that, let's say, you know, SEAL Team 6 or whoever the equivalent would be shows up, just for the sake of argument, at Area 51 or Dugway or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they come in with a full army of people looking for the goods. And so what happens? They get in this elevator that goes down, you know, 100 floors to open up into some room. Obviously, when these army guys or whoever get in this elevator, people know they're coming. They're going to open the elevators to basically what they call like a kill box, where if they really don't want you to see it, they probably have weapons down there that can just turn those guys into spaghetti sauce and then take this tech. And if we know how to fly it, just take it up in the atmosphere, or, you know, there's all kinds of ways. I don't think we're going to see stuff like that. I always feel like there's hidden floors or hidden, you know, drop floors or hidden stuff.
Yeah.
And also, we're talking about some invisibility tech where you could be in a hangar that's empty, but really there's, you know, two TR-3Bs, but you just can't see them right now.
Yeah.
And I interviewed Jeremy Corbell and his director, Michael Lazowski, about their new film, Sleeping Dog, the other day. And we brought this up because Burleson has visited a site. I believe Tulsi Gabbard has visited a site. And I brought up this exact conversation about, like, I just don't anticipate them ever being shown anything mm-hmm. because obviously stuff will be moved. And Jeremy kind of reassured me, and he goes, in some cases that's right, but you have to understand that there are people that, like, they're going in with informed information where they're kind of being told, if it were to be moved, this is where it would be moved to. So make sure you go, like, literally down this hallway as well, because that's the plan. So some of these people are armed with information of how that stuff will be hidden. So it's not just like they're going in willy-nilly. Some of it, of course. I mean, just these are huge, huge facilities that are, they're secret bases. So of course you're not going to be able to just like go walk around. Actually, didn't they say that when Burleson went to Pax River, he wasn't guided. He was just like allowed to walk around.
Yeah. Either that's calling your bluff, or that's like a, you know, we know there's nothing he's going to find, so do what you want. Or the third option is they don't care if you find something.
Right.
I just don't think you're going to go to any places where you walk into a craft in a hangar.
No.
Which seems very unlikely.
But again, I mean, that's something that Jeremy said. Like, he goes, it really might happen. Just so you know, it might happen. And he believes that if Burleson does find that, he is confident that he will let the world know what he found.
So the biggest takeaways then are saved, like I say, for the end. As part of that, he mentions of the 46 videos that are going to be released, he's seen some of them. And he says, well, they're interesting. Essentially, they're not mind-blowing. And he doesn't feel it's getting at what he's getting at and what the public should see or know or what's going to help a government bring forward disclosure, because the videos being released aren't going to do that. And I don't think that's anything that myself I expected. I've said a few times, if a couple, even three of these videos can be interesting, just interesting, I'll be happy. I'm expecting a lot of ones that are, okay, this thing zigzags, kind of disappears over the horizon. It's a bit of a black blob against a white background, mm-hmm. or vice versa. But just a few things that we can go, that looks a bit different, that looks interesting, and isn't debunked within a few minutes online, that I'd be happy.
Yeah, and for me, I'm the kind of guy where even if they're shitty, I want to see everything. If it's, you know, even the, you know, I don't care. I don't care how grainy it is. I don't care how far away it is. I don't care what it is. I want to see it. But I think you're right. If there's two or three in that group that are, make you kind of stop and, that's interesting. That's good. And it'll keep things moving. But we're definitely not getting, I don't think we're getting the stuff that we hope for and the stuff that we all know exists, which is completely clear, unambiguous proof of, you know, non-human intelligent craft doing crazy things in our atmosphere.
Yeah, there's no 4K videos in this drop, basically.
I don't think so.
No. He tells Congress, Grush tells Congress that they should start using subpoena power against hostile witnesses. And he mentions General Neil McCasland, who is still missing as of the 6th of May, as being one of these witnesses. What was your take on that? And he says, obviously, it's concerning he's still missing, but he does name him as a hostile witness.
That was interesting, because we get a lot of whispers about McCasland, and a lot of it just comes from his connection to the Tom DeLonge and the leak. That's the only reason that we really know about like who he is. And you see a lot of people online talking about how he was, you know, read into these programs and he was very knowledgeable. But to have it somewhat, I feel like, confirmed by Grush kind of elevates that story to me a bit and makes it more interesting. I still personally believe that I think he took his own life. That's where I'm at until I find out otherwise. But I guess the truth is he is missing, and the fact that Grush is concerned about that definitely makes it more fascinating and a deeper story. And now I really want to know more about McCasland's background and the kind of stuff he was privy to.
Yeah.
Definitely elevates that story.
So the big one is very much saved for the last couple of minutes. And Grush says he doesn't want to be kind of prophesizing what's going to happen and whatnot. I think he's remiss to put dates on things. Mm-hmm. But he does say he believes that we will have some serious movement on this disclosure process in the next 60 to 90 days. So May, June, July, July, August. So by August time, he reckons we're going to be down the road in some way, shape or form. Now, there are people who hate that kind of stuff, Dan. Yeah, Jake Barber, Skywatcher, poof, gone, disappeared into thin air. They put a timeline on stuff. I asked Barber about it back at Sol in October, and he said, yep, he did say that, and he still stuck to it. And he said at the time that while it wasn't the end of the year, the full 365 days from his claim was round about February, March. So we're still way past that now, and he's been so quiet to even negate anything like that. So, but yeah, Grush is putting a date on here, 60 to 90 days. Where does that land us in terms of the US political landscape? Is that past like your midterms and stuff as well?
No, the midterms in the States are in November. So if this is kind of cranking by August, it does line up with campaigns and ways to make it work for you. I don't know how much this would be like a campaign issue, but I guess if the angle is transparency, you could use it that way. But I think you're like me, where when people start throwing dates around, I get very squirrely, and it's kind of like, oh, please don't. Just let it be its thing. But I think I'd realized that having it come from Grush, it lands a little bit differently for me, where I kind of take it a little bit more. He is informed. He still works in government. He is a staffer for Burleson, who is taking kind of the full lead on this topic at the moment. So I think he clearly is informed of the topic itself and probably is assisting with the rollout. Things in this world move very fast, and politics in the States moves fast. I mean, there's multiple wars going on, so anything can happen in the next 3 months that can, you know, move that further down the road or make it happen quicker. I don't know, but I'm intrigued with him giving a date. Him saying it makes it a little bit more strong to
yeah.
me.
He's putting a percentage of his credibility on the table, though, with that, regardless of, like, quite yep. right, you say wars can happen, don't yep. we know it, a fuel crisis, Iran de-escalates, and something else pops up.
Yeah.
But if nothing comes within that 60 to 90 days and David Grush has to come forward and say, you know, there was something in motion, but something happened in the background, there will be a chunk of people who'll go, up, you're just like the rest of them.
Yep,
you called a date. It didn't happen. More BS. And yeah, so he's putting himself out there. I appreciate that. Barber done the same. And I think a lot of us were like, cool, good stuff. A year. Yep, that sounds reasonable. But then went all quiet. It's a mm-hmm. different situation with Grush. Not for good or for bad. But he is an individual working in the background. He is about as informed, I think, as anyone could be on this now.
Absolutely.
Given his close proximity to Congress, to the caucus. Let's be honest. A lot of what Luna, Burleson, Burchett and co are saying is from what they've been told by Grush.
And people like him. I think they're also talking yeah. to people that we don't know who they are. Like unknown
and
people to us.
Also Stephen Greer.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah.
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 So yeah, that was the Grush interview. There is some more stuff related to that we'll follow up on, but overall thoughts?
Very much worth watching. I know that we live in a clip society, and that's by design, but it's worth sitting down for an hour and 14 minutes and watching these two guys talk. They both seem very comfortable, and those are the best kind of conversations. And like you said, I think they're kind of peers and they have that shorthand. So
yeah.
It was a different, it wasn't, you know, a quick 7-minute Fox News interview. And it wasn't a 3-hour Jesse Michaels thing. It's a nice 1 hour. Here you go. That's kind of why his interview with Tucker Carlson was one of my favorite ones that he's done, because it's just two guys sitting for an hour. But it's definitely worth watching, for sure.
What was interesting, he actually mentioned during the interview, my good friend Tucker Carlson. I can't say Tucker's name. It's too difficult.
You did great. You did great. I'm proud of you.
No, it's so difficult. Tucker Carlson. What? But I just wondered how many folks that would upset, that Grush is friends with Carlson, and, you know, a lot of what he thinks seems to be from that Grush camp, doesn't it?
Sure.
But yeah,
sure.
he kind of goes over it quick. But
although Tucker is a big Demons guy. He's very much on the Demons tip.
Yeah. A lot of folks would say he's on the Demons tip, yeah. but yeah, interesting. Interesting. Whoops. Dude. Who's well connected. But yeah, on that, talk show hosts and presidents, two that haven't fallen out, like Carlson and Trump. Obama, former President Barack Obama, was a guest on Stephen Colbert's Late Show. And essentially he was poked about his comments that he made. And this is what kind of kick-started off this whole, let's just call it a disclosure trip, like you say, right?
From back in
February. When Obama made those comments on the podcast with on that podcast with the guy, I can't remember the dude's name, but it was so off the beat of the conversation, it just went to UFOs, and that made worldwide news. Obama says, "Yeah, aliens are real. I've not seen them," you know, and then Trump gets asked about it on the plane, and this all seems so long ago with everything that happened in the world since then. Trump then says, you know, Obama shouldn't have said what he said, and classified information, maybe I'll release the stuff. And here we are, okay, now into May and not far off of true potential disclosure or whatever that might look like. Obama's kind of walked it back again, though. He did a few days after that interview come out with a statement to say, look, I wasn't saying anything I shouldn't have said. I just said, you know, in my opinion, aliens are real. It was just answering in it was a quick fire round. It was in the spirit of the quick fire round, he said. So Obama, when asked about it by Stephen Colbert, laughed it off, and he said he thought people would understand what he meant. He wasn't taking his comments seriously. He said, you know, if the US government did have craft and bodies, the intel would have leaked already. Let me read you just this little paragraph.
Please.
So Obama takes a moment to set the record straight. He said, here's the thing. For those of you who still think we've got little green men underground somewhere, one of the things you learn as president is the government is terrible at keeping secrets. He continued, the idea, or this idea of conspiracy theories, if there were aliens or alien spaceships or anything under the control of the United States government that we knew about, seen photographs, what have you, I promise you some guy guarding the installation would have taken a selfie with one of the aliens and sent it to his girlfriend to impress her. It would leak. He does then go on to say he'd be a good emissary to represent Earth in the event of first contact. So he definitely has walked this way back. And even in a time of rising political interest in the topic, a lot of major news networks and social commentary sites that have millions and millions of followers each day are commenting on this. My wife, whose news algorithm is diabolically bad, she knows nothing of what's going on. I don't know if my wife knows about the war in Iran right now, other than me.
Good for her. I'm jealous. Yeah,
God bless her. She's got more things on her plate, I think she thinks. She doesn't listen to this, so it's fine. I can say that. But she even is getting, this morning, she was one that said to me, oh, Obama's made comments about UFOs. And I said to her, I'd just woken up and I went, oh, it must be from the old interview and people are just picking it up. And no, here we go. It was a new interview. He does feel he's walking it back. It's a continuation of the walk back. And I find that interesting in a time where I would have thought perhaps he would have been more open to the discussion, given we seem to be on the cusp of something. Just look at what Grush has said. The Trump situation with the files coming out soon. What's your take on that? It's a little odd to me.
I was very disappointed to see his interview with Colbert recently, because it was a walk back, and it was as soon as I hear anyone say the little green men thing, it always pisses me off. I think we're so far past even referring to that. It bugs me to no end. But he made some jokes and he kind of dismissed it again. And it was very disappointing. I feel like when he initially made the statement on that first podcast, to me, it felt deliberate. To me, it felt like poking at Trump or this administration to kind of do something. And I was really proud of him and excited that he did something like that, where he finally spoke on it. And then his next two statements on it are kind of, that's not what I meant. You know, it would have leaked. Well, my friend, it has leaked. It's been leaking for almost a century. Yeah. But I was disappointed with how this little thing, and I understand Stephen Colbert is a comedy, a comedian, and the show is funny, but I think that could have gone a little bit better on Obama's side. And it was kind of a bum out.
You could look into it when we talk about wording. He does say if there were things in control of the United States government that we knew about. But here we are talking about things that aren't in control of the US government. David Grush alludes to perhaps there being an embarrassment within government that this has now gone on so long. And this was in this recent interview. This cover-up and the passing over of materials and information to private contractors has gone on so long. The US's government's kind of lost control of it, that it's not their baby anymore. And even though it was used as a way to cover this up, a way to hide it, give it to private contractors, get around freedom of information requests, all that kind of stuff, it's been away so long that it's no longer their kid, you know? Maybe that's an aspect of it. And Obama, again, maybe he's just being clever with his wording, or maybe I'm looking too much into that.
You might be right, but also I think it has obviously left government hands a lot, but the government is still very much in control of a lot of it, and they definitely have their own things. I don't think it's all just with defense contractors. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. And on that, very quickly, Kash Patel was on a podcast as well, who is the current FBI director, always looks absolutely terrified whenever he's being interviewed. That poor guy, that poor millionaire, he has also confirmed, though, that the UFO files have been delivered, as he says, and are due to be released real soon. So I'm guessing they're just being uploaded by some intern onto the completely safe and secure website as we speak. And we can, we can expect... Yeah, and I'm guessing he means aliens.gov, alien.gov, the websites that have been registered. Yeah, so you've got Obama walking things back a bit. You've got Kash Patel saying the files are coming out. Grush is saying, you know, the files that will come out, he's seen some of them. He's not getting his hopes up, but, you know, is it potentially going to help? Let's segue into a really weird aspect of the story then. So a couple of days ago, and still to today, multiple pastors in the United States, I could name them like Alan Didio, Kevin Zidai, Joseph Z, and others. These people and their names mean nothing to me, folks. So if they do to you, wonderful. Came forward and basically started sharing stories that they have been part of a briefing that's been held. They said at the time by the US government and politicians to basically prepare them, to get them to prepare their people and followers for disclosure, that there is going to be confirmation of aliens. It's going to be difficult and strange, but they should prepare people for what's coming. This raised a lot of eyebrows because some of these people, I don't think I'm being unfair, Dan, when I say, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of these folks are the type of guys you see on TV telling folks that God and Jesus want you to give them all their money because their second boat needs its roof fixed. All the most wonderful, credible people going. And it's all got a little bit messy with that situation the last few days. So for a lot of folks, these guys are credible people spreading the word of God. For others, they're charlatans, grifters, and everything in between. It does look like, and I've got a comment here from Timothy Alberino, who was on the podcast previously. He's in the ear of your Eric Burlesons and co as well. He's been commenting on this, and he says, let me be clear, I am not aware of any official government sources or whistleblowers who are briefing Christian pastors with the claim that aliens are demons. That narrative is nonsense. What does exist are private UAP investigative groups that include individuals who happen to be evangelical Christians, and some of them are communicating this view to pastors behind the scenes. They are offering an opinion, not presenting evidence or speaking on behalf of any official source. And I think Tim's came out and read that statement, and I'm going to get you to read out the Burleson comment in a moment.
Sure.
Because what seemed to be happening, and I'm as across this as I think I can be, because it's all happened quite quick, is people have attributed Burleson's work and Eric Burleson's, so Congressman Eric Burleson, representative from Missouri, that he, it was alleged that he was going round and hosting these briefings. And I think Burleson's had to come out and basically clear this up, hasn't he?
Yeah. The word is that Burleson had this meeting with all these pastors, and I guess it sounded like some were in person and some were over like a Zoom call. And the cliff notes that I got yesterday, just by just following social media, which obviously is just full of truth and nothing but the truth, was that they were told that NHI were interdimensional and that they created humanity. And that was kind of the cliff notes yesterday.
And sounds fair.
Yeah, sure. And I got to say, I definitely got a little caught up in it. It felt more based in truth than a lot of stuff going on lately. So it was fascinating. And then I remember, you know, I've been talking a lot about the demons thing lately and how it kind of, it bothers me. And it seems like an easy way to call it demons so that you don't have to investigate it. But then when we're talking about a bunch of pastors and you know, evangelical Christians and you know, very, very religious folks, and to have the demon talk not come from them was very interesting to me, that they were talking about interdimensional beings as opposed to demons. That kind of threw me for a loop. But yeah, Burleson had to come out and make a statement, and I'll read that if you want. He posted this yesterday. He said, I've had many people ask me to respond to what the internet has said about what a person has said, what he says that I said. Really? I would remind people to listen to what I've already stated publicly, which is basically the following. I do not know what the strange objects in the sky are, and I certainly do not know their origins. I was asked to call in by phone to a conference slash meeting of theologians. I could not tell you all that was said at the meeting because I was not there and did not hear much of what was said. When I had a chance to speak, I expressed my views, which is what we Christians tend to get dug into our personal worldviews, even if they have nothing to do with what has actually been written in the Bible. It would be wise for Christians to stick to what the Bible says and not what they think it says. If, that is a big if, disclosure occurs of any type, then it will be all the more important for us Christians to be educated in our own scriptures. Until that time, I will continue to seek the truth, whatever it may be. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Which I really appreciated as this story was blowing up yesterday, and to have someone come out the same day and kind of like calm things down in this political climate was actually very much appreciated. Doesn't happen very much.
So obviously you could look at that Burleson's trying to backpedal. He's trying to cover himself. He's been caught out sharing information to pastors. However, like you say, that the statement's pretty fair. Rob Jones, who's newly appointed at News Nation as a researcher, he's come out and said that the religious leader's story is hype and BS by about 6 to 10 people who had an unofficial meeting with two former government employees, and then basically said to the person he was speaking to, anytime you want to tap in on the material facts around the cover-up, let me know. And one of the listeners on the Discord for the podcast said, for them, it's a giant game of telephone gone wrong. Tim Albino verified the Rob story yesterday. Retired government officials who did the briefing are Collins elite type, light type guys who supposedly mean well but have zero weight or authority. Burleson joined the chat and got incorrectly lumped into their opinions without saying anything about it. So that's how that looks like it's all came about. And like you say, I think some of these pastor folks have jumped in on this to be like, for views, for clicks, for clout. Which can happen. I think I had to talk about the pastor stuff, but that seems to be it for me, Dan. I don't know how much more there is to add to that one.
No, I think it was a story that blew up and got the fire got put out pretty quick. And Red Panda Koala also just tweeted that yesterday, in the space with Pastor Didio, he made the point that Burleson was not in the meeting. He said there seemed to have been multiple meetings with pastors from the same group that Burleson wasn't in, the one that he was in. So it sounds like there was multiple meetings organized. I want to know who organized these and for what reason. And also, if we're going to start briefing specific groups of people, I don't like that either. Like
that,
we should.
That was an issue. That was an issue a lot of folks had as to, so why are you just briefing evangelical Christians? And folks were like, well, is this because those within the White House, that's their leaning and they're just looking out for themselves? This doesn't sit right with people. And it looks like that's not been the case.
Yeah, because if that does happen, we should also be briefing, you know, elementary school teachers and college professors. And, you know, we're going to need to start reframing a lot of things that shouldn't start just with, you know, religion.
Yeah, UFO podcasters, you know, folk like us should be getting briefed on this so we can start framing the narrative to go, I actually think these are interdimensional beings that are housed under the water, and that's why Atlantis was Atlantis. It was actually we can start sounding like we know what we're talking about.
You're goddamn right, Andrew.
Yeah. So on to the even weirder, which again, this is all linked. This is like one big news story still, 53 minutes in from David Grush to now. This is all linked together. So on the 13th of May, we have another congressional hearing. This time it's on MK Ultra, which isn't directly UFO related, but a lot of times it comes up in UFO conversations. Yeah. So for those unaware, MK Ultra was a real CIA program, officially started in 1953. It was about researching mind control, interrogation, behavior manipulation, psychological influence. The 50s, 60s and 70s were a time of testing drugs. You're a roadie, aren't you, Dan? You must have hung about with some guys in their day who enjoyed things like LSD, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, sleep deprivation, electroshock. That sounds like a Saturday night out to Dan. But for a lot of folks in the CIA, it was MK Ultra. people were allegedly tested on without consent. Came out of Cold War fears that the Soviet Union, China, or North Korea had discovered brainwashing methods. The CIA wanted to know how it could help with interrogation, espionage, covert operations, and many files of MKUltra were destroyed on order of CIA Director Richard Helms in 1973. It became publicly exposed during the 1970s by the Church Committee, Senate hearings. And the most grounded takeaway is the US government did secretly fund unethical human experimentation and through the CIA shock horror. So it's now used online in lots of different ways of what MKUltra may or may not be. But those are the facts of MKUltra. Why do you think we're getting a hearing on MKUltra on the 13th of May?
I would love to know. I would love to know. That was my first thought is, where is this coming from? Not like MKUltra is, I mean, it's in the news. It is adjacent to this topic that we always talk about. And we've all kind of covered it in one way or another in some podcast or even, you know, conversations around a campfire. But I don't know what the push is right now. I don't know what that's about. I know there's some speculation that the Livelsberger,
Matthew Livelsberger. The Sean Ryan show kind of broke. Well, not broke, but had a big piece on that story at the time, didn't they? Because they mentioned anti-gravitics being part of it and a coming war with China and alien invasion, false flag, and it was really, really strange for a day.
Right, and I've seen people make some connections to him being some kind of MK Ultra asset, and I don't even know what that means. I don't know how that works, but I'm very interested in what this hearing is going to be. You mentioned Rob Jones. I know that he mentioned he's going to be there covering it. I don't know. I don't even know. Like, do you know who called for this or who is going to chair this or who kind of made this happen?
Honestly, I've not seen yet, but I'll ask you a question while I quickly double check.
Okay.
Is it far too much of a stretch to look at 11 missing scientists to then say there's an MKUltra hearing? Have people been put under huge psychological stress? Is there an element to this? Is that totally unconnected? Because I think people are going to jump to that. I'm not saying I'm going to do it and it's going to be 12 thumbnails over the next 12 days of MKUltra scientists one by one, but I think you're going to see a lot of that being linked. And I suppose I'm wary this hearing could damage the UFO stuff, depending how it's framed, the questions that are asked, how it gets lumped in. And when we're looking at this being taken, UFOs being taken more and more seriously, which is, I know that's one of the goals I have doing this podcast. And I'm sure when you have your conversations on your own or on Doom or Fridays, the night shift guys, it's all about trying to enjoy, inform, speculate, but push the conversation forward. And if we're, how is this? I'm worried how this is going to be framed, essentially. That's what I'm panicking about.
That's a great point, and I didn't think about that until you just said it, but that's why it's important to know who is calling for this, because let's say it's someone that we are unaware of is interested in the UFO topic, and they're trying to call a MKUltra hearing into existence. Maybe the point of it is to dampen or sully the UFO topic. Maybe it is to make it look a little bit sillier, knowing full well that us, you know, the stupid public, will make these connections where they maybe don't exist. So maybe it's a calculated...
Luna, apparently. Annapolina Luna.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't agree with her politically, but I think her intentions are reasonable when it comes to this topic. So I guess that theory goes out the window. I don't think she's trying to tank the UFO topic, but she's also a Book of Enoch person. So I don't know. That's
just a heads up on that website giving me that news. It's also advertising sex toys and hearing aids to me, so I don't know what I've been looking up online.
Any good deals?
Yeah. 6 months off on the hearing aids.
Send me the link.
Oh, I'll definitely not do that, Dan. But the news looked legitimate on there. So yeah, before we get to some listener questions, a couple of quick news items just to touch on, and then Dan, I don't know if you've got any. Bob Lazar is back on Area 52 with Chris Ramsey.
Awesome.
the comment section on X was not kind to Chris on the announcement of this interview.
There were a lot of folks.
Yeah, even a lot of folks were like, "Why is he back on again? What did he not tell you last time?"
And, well, yeah,
yeah. Go on.
I think that Chris has mentioned this, but his first interview with the Czar was filmed like 2 years ago. It was filmed a long time ago.
The date in the background was different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to line up with, Luigi's film, S4 was supposed to come out, I think, in 2024 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it got pushed. So there were interviews with Bob that had taken place that were supposed to line up with that release. And then I assume that, you know, he had a relationship with Bob since then, and there's new stuff going on, and now they can talk about stuff, you know, since the film's come out. I'm excited. I'll take as many Bob interviews as we can get. I think it's great. But I don't understand the hate of it. But also, people are just dicks.
People are just dicks. There's the people who hate Lazar, and then I think some folks who may be on the fence, are looking going, oh, he's back on again. So that's going to have to be carefully framed at the previous interview. And I hope it's just not a 3-hour interview where he covers a lot of that then same stuff. It would need to, and listen, there are questions to ask Lazar. I have questions that I won't get to interview Bob Lazar for disappointing reasons. I mean, Chris Ramsey's got him twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
But like, apparently Bob Lazar doesn't like leaving his ranch unless you're Chris Ramsey or Jesse Michaels or Joe Rogan. You know, I get that, but, you know, here's Chris Ramsey got him again. So, yeah, but there were questions that Jesse Michaels did not ask him, that Rogan did not ask him, that Chris Ramsey, first time round, did not ask him. So I'm intrigued to see if any of them actually follow up, because there is a lot of stuff you could ask Bob Lazar that isn't necessarily
What kind of questions do you have that you would like to see them asked?
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a lot of stuff on Lazar that I think gets missed out, and he might not even answer them. But I'll be intrigued to see what Bob adds to the story.
Me too. Yeah, I'm with you though. I mean, if Chris is really good at what he does, and I love his interviews because he asks from just a very inquisitive place. It's not just like, he doesn't call himself a journalist. He's just a fan of the topic. So his questions come from the heart. So I think it'll definitely add more. But I agree, it would be a bum out if it's just kind of the same old, so what was it like inside? You know, we got it.
Yeah.
But I'll
review
definitely
the
watch
documentary him. Type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Lou Elizondo's book, we touched on this on the Night Shift show last week when you all kindly had me on.
It was great.
Yourself, Clint, Pavel, Xander. I really enjoyed it. And I mentioned to you all that Lou Elizondo's book has reportedly, sources have told me, Dan, I have to do that old one, that it won't be coming out. It's still being reviewed by Dopser. That's why it will not be released in May as it was meant to be. So, as far as I'm aware, nothing sinister, still under review. They maybe just jumped the gun putting it up on that site. To be fair, when my book was going out, and bear in mind my book wasn't Dopser reviewed, you know, the government just let me release it. So make of that what you will. It was up on a website months before I even announced it, and it had a date that wasn't going to be the release date. So, you know, these things can happen. But yeah, that was interesting. Any thoughts on Elizondo's book? He's got his tour coming up soon as well.
No, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what this book is supposed to be about. I mean, I think when you mentioned it on Doomer Friday, it was kind of news to me. What is this book supposed to be?
So I found the section. So the book was due out 29th of May, 2026. Pre-order was due 29th of May, and it was due to go on sale late August. It was going to be Reckoning, the Unspoken Truth About UFOs and the Urgency of Now. Not that urgent for Dopser. And the blurb, as it appeared on the site, was a former Pentagon insider reveals the hidden truth about UFOs and why humanity can no longer afford to look away. For decades, governments have concealed the truth about unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAPs, but now the silence is cracking and the consequences of secrecy are becoming impossible to ignore. In Reckoning, Luis Elizondo, former head of the Pentagon's secretive UFO program, delivers an urgent wake-up call. UAPs are real, the evidence is undeniable, and our future depends on how we respond. Drawing on previously undisclosed evidence, global history and groundbreaking science, Elizondo reveals why this is not just about strange lights in the sky, it's about technology, security, faith, and the very identity of humankind. This is the pivotal moment. Will we evolve into a species ready to face the truth, or retreat into denial and risk catastrophe? That was the book, mate.
So it's kind of imminent too, in some ways.
Imminenter. Yeah,
imminent for sure.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like he's touching a bit more on like humanity and our origins. Is that kind of what he's alluding to?
Maybe. I mean, maybe more of his opinion rather than his experience. The last book kind of went up to what, 2021, 2022 time, didn't it? Or I think it finished on the hearings. I think the hearings were kind of happening, and it almost looked like, obviously he'd written it over the time before that, but if I remember right, the hearings were kind of tacked on as these are happening or have just happened at the end. So it looked like it was ready maybe to go to print, and they've went, shit, we have to get this in. So maybe, I think it cut off round about 2023, 2022.
I read it, but does talk about him in Congress or just the first Grush hearing?
No, not him. It was like before that.
Because his was 24.
Fuck's sake, Dan. I could look it up, couldn't I? It's like right behind me.
Why not? Behind me too, but let you do the work.
Yeah. Matt, you're the guest, so you shouldn't have to.
Just sit back and relax.
Yeah. Acknowledgements. Redacted.
What date did it come out?
Imminent.
Because he testified, I believe, November of 24.
It was before that, because he talks about his book in the hearing. Because remember, Luna or Mace kind of has like a little dig at him, like, I don't want to know about your book.
We don't want to read your book. That's right. Good call. Okay, we got mystery solved.
Yeah, so I think it was about 2020. It finishes up around the fall of 2023. Senate leadership requested my help, giving them clarity. UAP Disclosure Act. Yeah, so it was round about that time.
I wonder how this book will be received, because when Imminent came out, he was kind of still like seen as, you know, one of the top dogs. Since then, there's been a couple whoopsie-daisies with Lou.
Not unfair.
Yeah. And I think people make mistakes, but I've definitely criticized him for, you know, you're the guy. You sell yourself as the guy in this field. You can't make the kind of mistakes that he's made with releasing images that are just clearly not what he's claiming they are. That changed my opinion of. No, I'm not a fan. I don't want to say that. I still respect what he did. I still think he's very knowledgeable, but those mistakes really bothered me personally.
You weren't the only one.
I know.
Unfair at all. Then with this second, again, like similar though to Lazar's second appearance on Area 52 in a short time, Elizondo's first book, people are like, so there's your book, there's your magnum opus, there you've got it all down. And then, there's your second book coming out now. What did you not put in the first one?
Well, I think it's
you're always going to get that.
Sure. I think also with the Dobser process, there were things that he was probably trying to get cleared for the first book that he couldn't get cleared. And I imagine that for the second book, he's been cleared to talk about more stuff from the past, which if that's the case, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear what those things are. And I think that you definitely hear people talk about Dobser, how it's sometimes things are left out for a specific reason, which eventually becomes okay to talk about. So maybe there will be some important info in there. And no matter what, I will definitely be, I'm not a reader, but I'll listen to it for sure.
Yeah, I bought the book, but then listened to it on audiobook for the review. And I'll check it out, review it and stuff. And obviously wish him well in his recovery from the accident on the bike too.
Horrible.
But yeah, definitely, I think like most folks though, it's a little bit like, remember, is it in Batman when he talks about, you know, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Become the villain, yeah.
That seems to be most folks in ufology who come forward, isn't it? You either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And for me, sure. And just personally, Grush right now is the hero.
Yeah.
Is he going to die the hero? Not literally die, yeah, metaphorically. Yeah. Or is he going to, you know, live long enough to be the guy that, oh, there's his movie, there's his second book coming out, there's his spoken word tour with Joe Rogan around the world, you know? Like,
I think Rush will do things in the future that will kind of make some of us be like, oh man, that kind of sucks. But I also am the person he's human. And also, just because you have privileged information doesn't mean you don't deserve to have a job or to have an income. And
yeah,
people see writing a book as a way to make money. Who cares? I mean, it's information, you know, musicians. I work in the music industry. There you go. There's a book right there. Excuse me. There it is right there.
I'm dust on my book that I wrote. Yeah, sorry.
People don't get mad at musicians for, you know, going in the studio and making albums and then selling those albums. I mean, that's they're also giving information to the public. Documentaries are made all the time about very important subjects, and you know, doing that costs money, and you go to the theater and you see this documentary or you rent it on Amazon or whatever. I don't know why with the UFO topic we seem to think that no one has the right to make a living off of what they did and what they know. I have no problem with people making money off of it if they're telling the truth. That's the key part. If you're out there selling lies to people and making money, that's the definition of a grift. But if you're selling information that is true, I believe by definition that is not a grift, and everyone has every right to make a living.
Yeah. When you say about musicians, I do have some issues with Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, and Cardi B about releasing absolute dog shit and selling it as music. But yeah, that's just a personal opinion from me there.
Well, Dan, as someone who works in the business, I will never talk shit about Taylor Swift. She after her Eras tour that made her a billionaire, she had hundreds of people on her tour. And she tipped out, she gave every single person on the tour, including truck drivers and people that sold merch, everyone got $100,000 tip. So that's a pretty,
that's
pretty
like
awesome
me
thing
or
to
you
do.
Giving someone a tenner, man. That's like $10.
But it's more than anyone else does.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's just a tax write-off.
She tipped out $38 million, so.
Yeah, and wrote it all off for the IRS. So
don't be
a few
that
questions.
Don't be that guy, you dick.
I like a couple of our songs, but some of it's utter shit.
Yeah, of course it is. I don't like music.
Regardless
at all,
how much it gives away. So anyway, a few questions to get all through from listeners here, okay? Had a few around pastors for disclosure. People were really, you know, we touched on all of that. So thank you to those who sent in the questions about pastors. John says, as a Christian myself, I think it's important to reflect a recent comment by David Grush, something to the effect of it being premature to label NHI as anything so specific. It is my opinion it often comes from a place of fear, but the Bible never indicates that a demon is a specific species or type of creature. It may be thought of as a description of what an NHI's position is in relation to humanity and God, and there's not enough information currently to even come close to understanding that. So the same rules apply as when you step into the wild. Respect and caution is warranted no matter what lens we look at this, but fear is the killer.
That's beautiful. That is beautifully said. I think it boils down to just people. We have a tough time not knowing things. We have a tough time saying, I don't know. So when there's an unknown, we always want to assign something to it, whether it's a demon or an alien or a ghost or whatever. We have a tough time being like, I don't know, and we just got to let it stay. I don't know. But I think what John said was really beautifully said.
Yeah, poetry, John, absolute poetry. And you're right, and I've talked often enough about the whole idea of labels, and like you say, I won't pretend to know the doctrine or what's written in various religious texts. I know the rough idea, but if you're right there, that there's no such thing as a demon as this, and it is just a way of describing a thing's behavior towards something, or, you know, yeah, a position, that's totally fair. David says, and this touches on the kind of pastor thing, but I want to get your thoughts on David's point here. The latest rumor going around is that the interdimensionals created humans, there is no God, etc. Obviously, if true, the religiously inclined are in for a very bad day. But I've heard you say many times about a truth that would be more than a general public might be able to handle. Would that revelation be one of those truths? Because it sure would cause humanity to reconsider our perceived understanding of a great many things.
I think that would be true of just, you know, highly religious folk. But there's a lot of people out there, atheists or, you know, agnostics or whatever, that wouldn't really shatter their foundation. Well, it could, but not because of religious reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. So not for religious, but if you find out you're an atheist, you're agnostic, whatever, here are the things that created you. It's another race of highly intelligent beings that either we're here, they left, they're still here, they can travel dimensions, but yep, these are your creators basically, and they're coming back for a chat. That would be pretty, that's not something I think even I would go, oh, that's fine.
No, of course not. Dude, it would fucking rock my world if that was the case. But I would be shocked, scared, not like I don't want to know, but just scared of the unknown. I mean, the unknown is scary, but also fun. I would be like, whoa, let's take this in. But then I'd be all about like, now let's figure out, tell me why, tell me how. I want to know everything about it. But you know, there's other possibilities that really are terrifying, like, you know, the idea of us being some kind of resource or even a food source, as George Knapp has hinted at multiple times, to the point where it makes me very uncomfortable because he makes a point to bring that up like 3 or 4 times publicly. But I think that us being created by something is one of the least scary outcomes, because at least if something made us, hopefully that implies some kind of care or concern for us. But, you know, just like humans, we created labradoodles. I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, we care about labradoodles so much because we, you know, crossbred these, whatever. I don't know what point I'm trying to make, but I think you get it.
Unfortunately, though, there are humans that create other humans that do some very horrible things.
Yes, that's a great point, too. Yeah, it's a great point.
You started touching on there like some of the hard pills to swallow. A question that was asked by MPH said, has anyone found out what is the tough pill to swallow? And also a follow-up, is Jeremy going to release something new in his new movie? So first off, those kind of tough pills to swallow, Dan, we find out we are created by something else. There could be an element of whatever this phenomenon is, or an aspect of it, if we find out, if we know, if that observer effect comes into play where, oh, we know it's there, truly, that it's game over and we get reset and there's another ice age, big flood, you know, okay, you not need to go, this experiment's over. That could be a tough pill to swallow. Maybe it ties in with the cataclysm stuff, potentially. I'm just kind of throwing stuff off the top of my head. The food source thing, maybe not even they are physically eating us, you know, but perhaps there is that element of the feeding on fear, feeding on, you know, the horrible things that happen, negative emotions. I always liken it to Monsters, Inc., where they use the power of children's screams to power their world. Is it something like that? You know, we're all batteries in the Matrix. What are some of the stuff you could think of?
There's part of that that makes sense, too. If that were the case, it would explain so much about human nature and the way that we treat each other and the way that we are always at war, the way that we are just so greedy. And even with, you know, we consider ourselves, you know, civilized people. We live in homes with running water and power. If we're lucky, we have those things and we go and we have jobs and we raise families. But as a species, we are still violent animals, violent territorial animals. We are racists. We don't accept people for who they are for the most part as humans, I think. We have jealousy. We have anger problems, you know, but also we have the ability to love and to laugh and do all these great things. But it would make sense if something created us that to feed off of those negative feelings and fear to pre-wire us to hate each other and to be scared of each other and to have wars and to commit atrocities against children and women and boys or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that would make sense if that were the case. If so, they did a great job.
Or maybe they didn't create us, but maybe they found a way to tap into that. You know,
another great point. Sure.
Yeah. Thanks. Sure. I'm full of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Mark asks a question directly to you here, Dan. What are Dan's thoughts on the Vatican archives? Does he think there is something credible in there that suggests ET interaction?
I think definitely. I think so. Danny Sheen's talked about seeing some of that stuff. It seems like it's one of the most highly guarded places in the entire world. I have very strong feelings just based on nothing that a lot of the stories in the Bible or the ideas of seeing angels and demons could very easily be tied to contact experiences over the last thousands and thousands of years. I think that makes complete sense, especially when you don't know, you have no context of what you're looking at or how something could fly through the air. It would seem supernatural. So I think there's probably definitely some stuff in the Vatican that would be considered proof of what we're talking about and things that maybe Catholics would not want to be public because it would affect their bottom line and this corporation that they've created. No offense intended, but it is a highly profitable machine. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. All religion is. I think there would be elements down there of even particular writings that maybe, you know, you've got some of these interactions, and I can't think of any off the top of my head in the Bible where you could interpret something as, well, they met an angel, but actually it could be NHI or this could be NHI. Maybe there's some stuff that's really deliberately this being, this entity was not human, was not made by God. Maybe there's some stuff that just really is very blatantly about non-human intelligence, craft of different technologies that they go, that's just not in those Bibles. It's not in this version. It was meant to be. And that's the kind of stuff. I don't imagine they've got any, you know, photographs down there.
Was it Burleson who also said recently about the Bible that it's important for people to kind of take the Bible for what the words are and not try to look at it through how people interpreted it thousands of years ago? Did you hear that quote recently?
No.
But someone kind of put it that way. Like, listen to the words. Don't try to like think about everything we've attached to it. Just read it as is. But yeah, I think you're right. Just interpretation is everything.
Yeah, 100%. Ricky says, when the UAP files finally drop, do you anticipate the UK, France, and other countries to do a similar release of what they have on the issue? And if so, would it be days, weeks, or months, in your opinion? I'll answer that one first, Dan.
That's no, for you.
I don't think anyone will follow suit. I think the US will do this and the US will do this alone. And I don't think those files, to Grush's point, are going to be anything spectacular. Hopefully some interesting. I don't see this having a kind of ripple effect. I don't see it being talked about in Parliament currently. Not just those files anyway.
Going back to the Grush interview that came out yesterday, I found one part to be very, very interesting that I don't think we touched on. At one point, Grush makes a comment, about, he thinks this is going to be announced by the president. But then he makes the point that unless an adversary nation decides to get the jump on it and do it first,
yeah.
That to me felt like a very deliberate kind of push to like, we should be the ones to do this because China or Russia or even, you know, Brazil, I feel like could probably say something. The UK definitely could, although the UK feels very much like very far from being part of this conversation. But I think Rush did that on purpose to kind of give a little nudge to the administration to, you know, let's be the leaders on this now.
Yeah. Similarly, let's follow up. Sauerkraut says, pastors say they've been told to prepare for disclosure. We've discussed that. However, is there some kind of false flag set up with the current disclosure build-up from the Trump administration? Where do you sit then on the idea that this is all building towards either a massive distraction? We hear about the Project Blue Beam, the idea we're going to have some hologrammed alien invasion, you know, and that's going to allow governments to seize more power over their people. Or what's your take there?
I have so little interest in that idea. Is it possible? Sure. There's a comedian, Tim Dillon, who has been, he's hilarious, and he's been talking a lot about this stuff lately. And his entire last episode is about this idea of a fake alien invasion and just how he sees there's no way to pull it off properly. And that if they try it, it will be the most embarrassing failure in human history. It just can't be done properly. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to the idea of a false flag, or, and also like people throw around the word PSYOP with absolutely everything. I just, when I hear PSYOP, I kind of just tune out. When I hear false flag, I kind of just tune out. Are they possible? Yes, but I just, I don't know. It's too much of a what if for me to really think about it a whole lot.
Do you know what? For the most part, yes, I would say I'm the same. But I think we're in a time in 2026 where would it totally shock me if some kind of weird... Imagine something like the Phoenix Lights, like they used a hologram, because they could do that easily, and they spoofed a huge mass sighting for distraction, control, fear, all of that. I wouldn't be shocked if that was something that they'd even at least talked about recently to go, you know, we could do this if things get bad over here with Iran, Epstein, whatever. Let's, over Idaho, let's put a massive craft at, you know, 9:30 on the night in November at some festival, you know, something really, really weird and obscure, just to kind of take the attention away from other things. And I think even then you would have a split of, it's a distraction, it's a hoax, etc. You don't have to admit aliens. You don't have to say we're not alone, but it would be enough to get people talking and pull attention away from things. So it wouldn't shock me. That's basically what I'm saying.
Wouldn't shock me either. But the issue with that, I think, is that our attention spans as a people are so short that it might work for a minute, but we're still, at least in this country, we're still going to circle back to, you know, the Epstein files or whatever the thing is that is not going away. That's something that's not going away here. Globally, I mean, if they planned it all over the world and there was like a coordinated effort to basically mimic the movie Arrival, where there's, you know, five pods or whatever it was all over the world, I guess it could be something interesting. But is the point just for distraction? Is the point to get people to rally around giving more and more money to the U.S. military for like how much more do they need for self-defense? I don't know. I would love to know what the intention or angle would be.
Here's a break in the serious questions. This break-even bandit says, what gets released first, GTA 6, the UFO files, or Elizondo's book?
I saw that one. GTA 6, what's the other one?
The UFO files or Elizondo's book. I think the files are coming in the next couple of weeks.
I think so too, because GTA is supposed to be, I think, November of this year, and I really can't wait. And I make the joke all the time that I really want to play it before nukes blow up the entire world. And I keep getting mad at the delay because I really want to play. I think the files are first, and then GTA, and then Lou's book.
Yeah, that's a likely one for me. Yeah,
the files do feel pretty close. It kind of does feel it, but also we've been told.
I think we're days rather than months at this point. I think for the files, maybe weeks, but not long. Mm-hmm.
Although go on. If Grush said, you know, gave the 60 to 90 day window, is is he talking about more than the files, do you think?
Yeah,
is he
100%.
What do you think he might be referring to? Like an official acknowledgement?
I don't know, just more. Because he talks about the files and says, I've seen some of them, you know, they're not going to have a big impact, you know, the way what we're talking about will. But then at the end, you know, within 60 to 90 days, we'll see some serious movement. That's not good the point. Files for me.
Yep.
CB says, if you had the chance to ask three questions of the Trump administration or US Congress, what would you ask vis-a-vis NHI disclosure at this moment? Alternately, what is one do or do not that you would recommend to the administration or Congress regarding capital D disclosure? So let's go with one question each and then one do or do not that we would recommend. Anything off the top of your head immediately?
My question would be, I think, why now and where is this information kind of coming from?
Yeah. Okay.
How about you?
Should want to know. So I would.
Intent. No, I want to know intent.
Of them or the.
Yeah. I want to know if they know what the intent of these beings or interactions, like what is the point of these things interacting with us, if they know that.
I suppose I'll be cheeky and just piggyback off your question, and I'd want to know, how many of these things are you directly interacting with that are different?
Good one. That's a good one.
It's one thing about, like, oh yeah, there's aliens. Yeah, but how many of them? Oh yeah, just the one species. Or no, actually four. But one of them we don't like talking to. And one of them we don't speak to very much. One of them's meh. And one of them's really nice. Maybe it's like that, you know. That's the way I kind of think it is, to be honest. And the other one was, what is one do or do not that you would recommend the administration or Congress regarding capital D disclosure? My do is one that's not going to happen, and that would be, do get the other superpowers involved, i.e. yes. Russia and China, and get together. They won't. And even if they do, they'll all be backstabbing each other anyway.
Yep.
But I would like to see it be like a worldwide effort.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's a great do. I think that would be the only way to have it feel sincere to the whole world, where if it's just the U.S. president or just Putin talking at a podium, it's going to be easy to dismiss just because, or easy to accept or dismiss based on where you lay politically. So my do not, I would actually ask for it not to be just the president making an announcement. I would like to have some expert that kind of gives the information, or at least a panel of people that speak together, not just one guy looking to be the guy that with all the pictures being taken, but that's probably what it's going to be.
I'm laughing because you've answered the next question.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, what's the question?
Andy asked, is there any particular figurehead that you would believe when it comes to disclosure, whatever that may look like? So you're looking for an expert in a field. And it's kind of my answer as well. I'd be looking for a panel of scientists, astrophysicists, mathematicians, etc. And kind of one by one, with kind of 5 or 10 minutes each, you get them going along saying, found this signal, we've been tracing it for a year now, we've found it back to this planet, techno signature, pollution, biosignatures, whatever it may be. We've also then got these folks who have looked at this, what we think is frequency we've picked up. We've found it's a signal, and basically it's kind of, it's binary code, or it's these numbers, which are basically like a basic hello type thing. So you've got all these different scientists coming forward to say, we can basically say this is alien life, this is non-human life. It's reached out to us and we're going to reach back. I would rather that than Xi Jinping, Putin, Trump, anybody standing on a podium and making the announcement. I would love to see a group of people, we don't know who they are, we get their names, we get their roles, but they stand there and give us like an en masse presentation.
Even if they're introduced by the president, if we're just talking about the US, if Trump were to say, you know, we're not alone and today is a huge day for the country and the world, aren't I amazing? Let me turn it over to our panel of experts and let them talk and take questions. I'd be okay with that. if he gets to be the guy
Can we have Trump holding a microphone, walking around and commenting as they do it, though?
Like he's Phil Donahue or Oprah Winfrey? Yeah. Just yeah,
fascinating. I love that. Let's expand on that. That's an idea I've had for many years.
Amazing.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live-esque skit.
Absolutely.
Would be quite interesting. Last couple of questions, mate. Russell says, not something I've heard mentioned before, but is there a possibility that the NHI have been influencing the below? The global total fertility rate was approximately 2.3 births per woman in 2023, having dropped from over 5 in the 1960s to below the 2.1 replacement level in many countries. So are NHI affecting global fertility rates?
I don't think so. I think that it has to do with just society, and I think that has to do with technology and phones and
money.
Attention span, money, resources. Yeah, resources and the job market. But I think mostly it has to do with, you know, you see reports now of young people are like, they're not really dating. They're not like having sex because everything's kind of done over texting and face-to-face communications, and conversations are seen as somewhat awkward nowadays. So I think that has to do more just where society is in general and overpopulation and resources and fear and uncertain. And I think it's going to go down even more with the current uncertainty of the future, because I mean, jobs are disappearing at an alarming rate. So I don't think now is the time to be building getting 5 kids.
Yeah, I think society's changed, like you say, and I don't think it's to do with the NHI on that one. But yeah, interesting point. And sure. Joe says, what do you think the likelihood is that the UK could have had a similar SCIF set up for British military whistleblowers and maybe an aliens.gov.uk website? It's all happening in the US. It's frustrating that nothing ever happens to push the needle forwards in the UK. I think the world generally would take disclosure more seriously if it didn't come from Trump, as the general public that are not as informed as the UAP community will think it's just another distraction and will call BS. Maybe we could create a petition for parliamentary discussion. So I suppose that kind of wraps us up nicely, because we've been touching on that, and that idea that I think it's going to have to be, for the UK to do anything, it's going to have to be US-led, and it's going to have to be US-led in a big way. These files dropping, which will happen in the coming days, will not impact the UK to release anything similar. That won't happen. I don't think a petition would get, unfortunately, enough support from the public to push that forward either. I think you would have to have maybe something akin to Grush's comments about something substantial happening 60 to 90 days. And again, not to repeat myself too much here, but from the Doomer Friday appearance, you know, James Webb telescope's found a signature somewhere else, or Avi Loeb's Galileo project picks up something interesting. It would need to be something like that, or an Oumuamua or type object that comes through the solar system that undoubtedly moves. What was the one that everyone was commenting on for clicks and likes and engagement for months?
3i Atlas.
That's the one. 3i Atlas. Yep. That all those people made an absolute fortune for, doing daily podcasts on what it was and wasn't doing.
Good God.
Incredible stuff. Absolutely unbelievable. So it would need to be something undeniably like that, where scientists came out and went, yeah, this is doing some really weird stuff. This isn't a comet.
James Webb is interesting. An acquaintance of mine has a connection at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. And a couple of years ago, I got invited to do an awesome private tour of the facility and go and get a walk around tour. And there's a guy that works there named Jim McClure. And he's been there, I think, since the 80s. He's been there forever. And he's the one that kind of gave us the tour. And at one point, I think I asked a question about James Webb, because I think they do all the James Webb stuff, I think, at JPL. And he told me that the government had a handful of classified missions that JPL was working on that were, classified. And I asked, is there anything you can say about that? He goes, no, but there's classified missions that James Webb is doing. And I would love to know if looking for life is part of that. I would assume it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But classified missions, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
How can you not be interested? Even, let's just say, There were no aliens. There was no NHI. It is all conspiracy theory. The governments have never been involved, right?
Yep.
Let's just say that was the case. Mm-hmm. Surely, even then, if you were sending up stuff like James Webb, you would just go, in the off chance there's something out there, let's try and get ahead of this first. We've never been, there was no Roswell, we've never been visited, you know, no Phoenix lights. But let's just have a look, just in case. It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Of course. Absolutely, 100%. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. That's where I think we're at. But listen, you have been really great with your time, Dan, and I know you are a busy man today. Thank you for joining me to break down the Grush interview and everything that's going on. And I think we're only going to get busier in the coming weeks, to be honest. Not months, weeks. So yeah, appreciate it, mate.
It's a pleasure. I love talking to you, and let me know anytime. And please come back on Doomer Friday as soon as possible.
Yeah, people seem to enjoy that. That was great. How can people find you and your work if folks want to check out you, Dan?
Sure. I've a UFO podcast called Others from Another Mother, which you can watch on YouTube. I have an interview with Jeremy Corbell coming out next week to talk about his film and other things with the director, Michael Lazowski. We had a great conversation, and there's some cool stuff in the movie that we touched on. People can find me on Instagram at DanCleary79. I talk a lot about UFO stuff and silly, dumb stuff. I'm all over the place. And you can find me on X also at DanCleary79. And I look forward to talking to you again as soon as possible.
Awesome. Dan, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Folks, if you're on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment. That helps folks like myself and Dan out massively. And it's always free to do that too. So thank you very much. I'll speak to you very, very soon. Oh, you're not holding a copy of my book, are you? Yeah.
Just happen to have it right here.
Yeah, I mean, Atlas of UFOs is currently available and on a good offer across Amazon if you want to check out a copy of that as well. I'll get the plug in there. Thank you, Dan. Cheers.
Of course.
Speak to you soon, folks.